the good news of Luke this morning, chapter 5, verses 12 through 26. Jesus was in one of the towns where there was also a man covered with a skin disease. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged, "Lord, if you want, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do want to be clean." Instantly, the skin disease left him. Jesus ordered him not to tell anyone. Instead, Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses instructed. This will be a testimony to them." News of him spread even more, and huge crowds gathered to listen and to be healed from their illnesses. But Jesus would withdraw to deserted places for prayer. One day when Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and legal experts were sitting nearby. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Now the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. Some men were bringing a man who was paralyzed, lying on a cot. They wanted to carry him in and place him before Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they took him up on the roof and lowered him, cot and all, through the roof tiles into the crowded room in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." The legal experts and Pharisees began to mutter among themselves, "Who is this who insults God? Only God can forgive sins." Jesus recognized what they were discussing and responded, "Why do you fill your minds with these questions? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you will know that the human ones has authority on the earth to forgive sins," Jesus now spoke to the man who was paralyzed. "I say to you, get up, take your cot, and go home." Right away, the man stood before them, picked up his cot, and went home praising God. All the people were beside themselves with wonder, filled with awe. They glorified God, saying, "We've seen unimaginable things today."
That is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you so much, Sharon, for reading that scripture so beautifully. Today we are continuing in our sermon series called Prayer And, where we are talking about all of the partners that prayer has and all of the ways that we can serve God through prayer and casseroles, prayer and presents. You'll want to come next week because it's prayer and sex, so get excited about what I'm going to say. Well, who knows where that's going to go? But today we are talking today we are talking about prayer and medicine, and what it means for us to believe in both the healing power of medical care and the healing power of prayer. So as we prepare to reflect on this scripture and on that theme, will you go to God in prayer with me once again? Let us pray. God of us all, thank you for opening our eyes to see this day. Thank you for bringing us safely to your house to fellowship and worship you. We are truly grateful for even the smallest blessings, and we pray that you would open our hearts to be aware of even more of the ways you show your love for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So the scripture passage we just heard read, does this story sound familiar? You might remember that we heard a different version of this story a few weeks ago when we read from Mark's gospel and talked about prayer and presence. And we thought about what it was like for a paralyzed man to have such faithful friends who showed up and carried him to Jesus, the healer. Today we look at the healing miracles of Jesus from the perspective of the religious leaders, the lawyers, the doctors, and the authorities of Jesus' time. What did all those people in power think about these so-called healings? Well, that's why we're turning to Luke today, because he was one of those powerful people. The Gospel of Luke and its sequel, the Book of Acts, are believed to be written by a highly respected, highly credible, highly educated doctor named Luke. He came to know the stories of Jesus and had a real interest in telling the stories in a way that could reach even the most cynical people, those who thought themselves smarter than all the rest. So in Luke's telling of this story, there are a few important things to note. The first is the regularity with which Jesus is performing miracles. We see him heal a man with a skin disease and make clear that this healing should be a testimony to God's power. Jesus sends the man back to the religious authorities so he can stand as living proof that the God of Jesus is God of all. And then Jesus goes to pray alone. I think this is so key that we see Jesus healing and praying together over and over again. When he goes to pray alone, we know that those prayers were not for teaching purposes, not to prove God's authority with more miracles, not to show off, but were simply a needed conversation between Jesus and his Lord. Even Jesus needed those quiet, honest moments of talking to God and sharing how his day had been, what he struggled with, what he gave thanks for, and to listen for God's will. All of this should have been enough for the temple leaders and other authorities to take Jesus seriously, but because of who he was and how the people followed him, he was quickly becoming a threat to their power. They feared they might not have the people's unquestioning loyalty anymore. Jesus was acutely aware of all of this, of course, and so his next miracle had to be more than just physical healing. He had to offer spiritual healing to the people as well. And so we hear Luke's telling of the paralyzed man being brought before Jesus, lowered through the roof by his friends, and Jesus not only making him able to walk, but forgiving his sins as well. Luke looks at things through the perspective of the educated elite who were challenging Jesus, and he helps us see how things might have seemed to those folks. They had been taught that only God could forgive sins, and there were practical ways of receiving that forgiveness. They knew that only trained healers, people like Luke, could be doctors and good to the people. So why was this man Jesus claiming to do both of these things he had no authority to do? It's fascinating to me to think of this story from the perspective of a first century doctor, someone who had studied medicine and wanted to help people, and yet was being confronted with these healing miracles and trying to explain them. Somehow, Luke found a way to bring together his professional education and his spiritual belief in God, who was so clearly performing these miracles. I wonder if we have anybody like that in the congregation today. Do we have any healthcare professionals out there or anybody who works in a hospital? Well, I see one right here. Kyle, I wonder if you'd come up and answer a few questions on Luke's behalf for us for a moment. Let's welcome Kyle Jonaker, everybody. Well, Kyle, since we're struggling to see things from Luke's perspective, and we're wondering what a doctor might have thought about this, can we ask you a few questions?
Sure. Don't see I have a choice right now.
All right, well, one of my first questions is, can you tell us what your job is and how you found your way to that career?
Certainly. I'm currently the clinical coordinator of the pharmacy department at Northwestern Medicine Kishwaukee Hospital in DeKalb. So I'm a pharmacist, and I have been doing that now in community hospitals for a little more than a decade. Graduated in 2006. And so way back when I was in high school at the ripe age of 17, figuring out what do I want to do with the rest of my life, which is a hard decision for any young person to be making, I was reflecting and realized that I'm pretty good at science and math and was dependent on medications to make it through childhood. I have asthma, and when I was a kid, had some pretty bad asthma attacks. And if it was not for medication, I would not still be here. And so that really kind of drove me to go, you know, maybe there's a way I can put this pretty intelligent mind I have, my desire to help people, and something that has helped me to make a career out of that. And so I chose to go look into pharmacy, and thus far has been pretty good to me.
Amen. Well, we're so glad that you followed that gift that you were given and have followed this career into pharmacy. And so I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how you reconcile your faith, your belief in God, your Christianity, with all of the education that you've had, all that you've learned about medicine? How do those two things fit together?
Oh, good question. They actually fit together very, very nicely. Really, I think if it wasn't for my faith, I may not have ended up in pharmacy in the first place, because it was that desire to help people that definitely made me look that direction. If I was only in it for myself, possibly business, possibly something that only expanded my own wealth and my own personal may have been part of it. But then as I started learning more and more about how the body works, it really kind of grew how amazing God could be. When you're young and you start just seeing like, oh, bodies are great, they do little things, and then you maybe learn a little bit more, and you're like, oh, that's interesting, didn't know how that worked. But then when I started getting into pharmacy school and really learning some of the meat of all of the different processes, the biological things going on in the body, in the cells, how medicine can change those to make them work better for us, it just started to essentially blow my mind, and I'm just amazed at this stuff that God has provided to us. And part of that belief is also that God has given us amazing brains to do amazing things. And those people who have created and discovered medications, those people, those doctors that go out and help patients and help people be better, that's a God-given gift, as I view it. And so really my faith in all of that stuff that God has provided and then my knowledge of medicine really fit nicely together to help people.
Amen. Well, as we're thinking about what this must have been like for Luke to try to process all of this information, and we're wondering if Luke ever doubted his science because of what he was seeing in Jesus, or if he ever doubted God because of the training he had received. Have you ever had to deal with that? Have you ever doubted God because of the education that you received?
I don't know if doubt would be the word I use, but physicians and pharmacists, we are skeptical by nature. We don't just always take exactly what someone says or what we see at face value. We dig a little deeper. We look for the science, the labs, the what else is going on, kind of try to look at that full story. And we have to be prepared for all types of outcomes and anticipate what those might be. And all of that gives you a very questioning attitude. So for a pharmacist or a physician to really stand by a miracle, or stand by something that seems to expand and go beyond what science might tell us, that really gives a lot of credence to that that testimony for what has happened. Because again, by nature, that's not the answer we're looking for. We want to know why something occurred. We want to know what caused that. And so when we can't answer that and see a miracle, it truly is an amazing God thing.
Well said. And we know that you have to take a lot of ethics classes and consider all possible outcomes of situations. Do you think that our knowledge of medicine and all that we're learning about our bodies comes with responsibilities about showing love to our neighbor? Are there implications from what we learn that we're able to do? How do you think that your faith impacts that question?
Yeah, so certainly as a whole person, you have to have your faith and your profession kind of play into those roles of that ethics. For me, the big thing, the way we can show love, is that access to healthcare. We can't create something that can benefit people and then hold it only to those who can afford it or who can drive to get there. We have to open it up to everybody. And so certainly that is the role, I think, where having faith and being a good neighbor to support and love everybody in our community is essential. And so opening that access to healthcare and make it affordable, if not free, to everybody out there is ideal.
Amen. Well, thank you. Our last question for you, as we're still trying to understand what it means for Luke to have written this story. Luke, who we believe to have been a well-educated physician, writes that Jesus could miraculously heal people. What significance do you think it has for a doctor to write this story and other miracles of Jesus?
Yeah, I think it is. It gives a huge credence to what's being shown and what's being said. Again, we have Luke, who is trained, has a scientific mind, is looking for answers based on experience and based on observation. And so for someone with that mindset to then come up and say, this was God, this was a miracle, that is huge. Because Luke has, as a profession, wants to find a more scientific answer, a more lab-based answer, but when that does not exist, it shows a lot of power in that testimony.
Amen. Well, thank you, Kyle. Let's give Kyle a round of applause for being part of our message today. Thank you so much, Kyle. I was thinking when I was writing about prayer and medicine that I did, in fact, have a pharmacist in my very own house, and it would be silly to not consult with him. So we give thanks for Kyle's testimony, and it makes me reflect on how grateful I am that each of our life experiences have shown us a new way to see God. Today we're reflecting in particular on this theme of prayer and medicine, giving thanks that both prayer and medicine are gifts from God that complement one another. A while ago, I served as a chaplain at Northwestern Hospital in downtown Chicago, and I remember so many conversations with other chaplains about what a powerful experience it is to pray with someone or simply be present with someone while they are seeking medical healing. We shared stories in chaplaincy with one another about the times we could feel God's presence in the room. And we were regularly humbled by the reminder that it wasn't us who were bringing God anywhere, but that God was always already present in each and every room in that hospital. Today, because none of us are ourselves God, we need the reminders that some of us are trained in spiritual care and others in physical care and others still have more gifts. I remember my chaplaincy supervisor listening patiently to my frustration at my first few visits with patients when I said I didn't feel like I was doing anything, that I left the room and I hadn't fixed their problem. My supervisor smiled and gave me a solid reality check. Violet, you are not a doctor. You're not going to fix anything. Your role is to listen. I think that reality check can be hard for all of us when someone we love is suffering. We wish for any and every cure. We want to be able to take away their pain. And while we give thanks for the advances of modern medicine and all the ways that people can be helped and quality of life can be improved, we want it to be as simple as it was for the men in our scripture today who received that instant healing from Jesus. What lesson then can we take from those stories? How can we follow Jesus' example in the 21st century? I'm convinced that it means we take prayer and medicine equally seriously. We give thanks for God's blessings of wisdom and knowledge so doctors can do all they can to heal our bodies. And that we bring the same seriousness to our prayer life that we do to caring for our physical selves. This ritual we practice of sharing our prayers here is part of that, just as being present and praying with people in the hospital is. There are some churches where the point of a sermon on medicine and prayer would have been to persuade the congregation that we should value hospitals and trust them as gifts from God. And there are other churches where the point of the sermon would have been to persuade the congregation that prayer is a powerful healer and we should take it more seriously. But today I am so humbled and honored to be part of a congregation that I believe already knows those two truths. Already believes that God works in our lives in so many ways. And so instead, I want to close by inviting you to remember that each of your lives is a testimony to God. You, like Luke, are writing an account of the good news of Jesus Christ by how you live your life. What you say to others about this life, how you support family and friends with prayer, and how you tell your story. Just like Luke's perspective uniquely reached so many people who would not have understood the power of God except for the way he told it, so too can you have that impact on someone. The way you tell the story, the way you live your life, the way you speak out and pray for others, that is your witness. May you tell it with confidence. Amen. And now as we move from reflecting on God's word to reflecting on God's